You know, Sunday, I mean, yeah, this past Sunday, I was sharing something, and there's a gentleman, a deacon down in Nanuet, that was in special forces for a number of years as a young man. And he was, as he said, he did things that were upfront and personal. As a nice way of saying he killed people. And he was in places and countries where he shouldn't have been because they dropped him in there to do special operations, special missions, special things to, I won't say subvert, but sometimes countries do things. And so, you know, it's not just the United States. You've got other countries doing the same thing, putting people in countries to do what? To get information, to do things, to subvert, to change the course maybe in a nation that they weren't planning on going, and they're in there doing things. And I was thinking about it as I was teaching, and I said, you know, when we grow up as a child, I'm just talking about natural versus spiritual. When we're a child, everything's fun. It's just, oh man, we're having a good day. We're going to go out and play today and have fun. But then you grow up a little more and your parents give you some chores. I don't like that. Now it's not fun anymore. Oh, you want to have fun? Good. You go do this and you go do this and you do this. And then you get a little bit older and they go, you got to get a job. I don't like that. So now life begins to come front and center. And so life then isn't fun like a child anymore, is it? You got to do some growing up. And you begin to see and you take on some responsibilities, maybe as a parent or maybe as a boss or maybe you're a business owner. And so the seriousness of life begins to be a reality. Now, it doesn't mean we can't have fun, but now you have assignments. So it's not just fun and games anymore. It's not, oh, we're having fun. But sometimes the assignments as an adult are not comfortable. They're not comfortable. Maybe you're doing some things. I don't like this. I don't like this growing up stuff. It's not fun anymore. And so the same thing spiritually, you know, we get born again. Oh, it's wonderful. Woo! And then the more you grow up spiritually, God begins to say, okay, come over here. I want you to walk in love. I don't like that. I want you to be joyful. I don't like that. I'm not joyful. I want to be kind either. And so God is beginning to, as you begin to grow up spiritually, he's going to then do what? Give you some assignments or commandments from his word to walk a certain way, operate a certain way. And there might be some pressure, there might be some uncomfortableness about walking as a Christian that you go, I don't like this. This ain't fun anymore. But you have the Holy Ghost and the Word and the name of Jesus, and you're seated in heavenly places to overcome. Now, maybe in the natural, there might be some things you can't overcome, but in the spiritual, we overcome. And can overcome. And so all I'm sharing is that just like in the natural, as you grow up spiritually, God is going to give you assignments and he's going to reveal some things. Just like, you know, when I was looking at Deacon Tony, I said to him, let me ask you this question. I said, you are in special ops. I said, would they have ever given you those assignments if they couldn't trust you? You go, no. I said, yeah, you would have put your whole team at risk. Could have got them killed. He told me a story one time. They were getting off a chopper. They were being dropped somewhere, you know, and they were under fire and it was tense. And he said, this one guy on the chopper is going, oh, we're all going to die. We're all going to get killed. And they're all saying, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. And he's wailing. And this after all this training, you go through all of this specialized training. You're under fire and he's crying, we're going to get shot. He said, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mind on the mission. And Tony said, this was before I knew Christ. But he said there were some things we just didn't do. We didn't talk like we were defeated. Well, we're going to die because we're getting out. And he said the minute this guy got off the chopper, bam, he got shot dead. And Tony said, when he looks back now, he said he opened the door up with his words. He opened the door up to get shot because of his words. And so he just shared with me that, no, he said, when you're given a special assignment, that you've been exposed, you've been given inside information about an objective that you have to go on and to fulfill. And God, as we become more responsible for Him and we walk in the Spirit and are better at being a Spirit, He's going to give us inside information. Inside information about something. Could be people. You didn't know anything about them, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you know something about them to do what? Minister to them. Not talk about them. Not get on the phone and say, boy, you know what the Holy Ghost told me about Susie Q? Well, you can't be trusted. You can't be trusted. So walking in the Spirit is going to be walking in love, love of God, love for people, and being faithful to carry out whatever assignment He gives you, whatever it is. And that's a learning experience. That's a growing thing for all of us. You know, if you get a prompt and it comes to your mind, pick up the phone and call so-and-so. That may be the first step. Go do this for so-and-so. Just pick up the phone and call and say hello. How you doing? And that's the baby steps that we get because God is in heaven. He wants, what does the scripture say? He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities and weaknesses. He's touched, but He wants to touch through us. And we can't be like, I ain't doing that. I'm busy today. I'm watching the game. Oh, I see. So you're too busy to obey a direction. And that's the same thing in special ops when they say you go so many clicks up the road and you turn, we're going to take a shortcut. We're going this way. And you put the whole team at risk. Because what I've been told, and Tony told me this, if you disobey a command in the field when you're on a mission, that person in charge has the right to shoot you on the spot. Because you disobeyed an order. And so I'm not saying God kills us. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that you need to think about walking as a Spirit and obeying God. And what they were sharing all week is not just be, you know, confessing the word. We do that. But it's working with God when God stirs your heart to do something, say something, release a word, pray for somebody, then we obey, you see. So God is desiring that we walk in the Spirit. I like this in the Passion Translation. Well, in the King James, it's in Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." And the New Living Translation of that verse, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." This is just saying it another way, Galatians 5:16. In the New Living Translation. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." See, it doesn't mean that your sinful nature won't want to crave something, but when you let him guide you, you won't let it. That's the difference. And I like what the Passion Translation, it says, "As you yield freely and fully." This is the Passion Translation. "As you yield," see, we have to yield, that's obeying. "As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life." See, that self-life goes back to what? As you yield what? With your heart. This is your spirit. I'm going to yield with my heart, and then I won't let the self-life, these cravings, that's your mind, your soul, want. I want to do that. See, when you get those impulses and those things, I've got to do that. That's the time you just need to say, you know what? I need to just shut that down, back that down a little bit. And no, we're not going to. We're not doing that. You know, whatever it is. It could be you want to say something to somebody, and man, they got it coming from me. No. That's the time when you want to, that's your mind, your feelings, your emotions have been affected in some way, and I'm gonna let it go. And say something. But it says here, yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and the power of the Holy Spirit. So yield to him. And then you won't let those other passions and cravings dominate. So this is walking in the Spirit, walking in the fruit of the Spirit. See, if we walk in the Spirit, then you're going to walk in love. Because God is love. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm walking in the love of God, I'm walking in unity, I'm walking in agreement with God, I'm yielded to him, right? So there's something, I was reading something recently. This is something from Rick Renner's book. It's a really a good book. It's called, I download them because I like to carry them around. But this is a book you may want to consider getting. It's a good read. It's called Signs You'll See Just Before Jesus Comes. A great little, it's not a long book, but it's called Signs You'll See Just Before Jesus Comes. And one of the things that he talks about, which of course we know from Matthew 24, verse 12, and anybody that can just see it, let me just pull this up in the King James, because we're more familiar with that. And the signs, of course, you can go back to verse 3, but it's the signs of the end of the age. And starting in verse 12, I'll back up to verse 8, it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. But verse 12, it says, and because of iniquity, or that could be sin or lawlessness, it says, the love of many shall wax cold. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. The Passion Translation, it says, there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness. Don't we just turn on the news? You can see that. Increase of sin, increase of lawlessness. It said, that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. Interesting. So what we need to make sure is that, and this is staying connected, being connected with Him daily, staying connected, staying in tune with the Holy Spirit, yielding to Him, seeking Him. Because if you don't, your mind can slip over and embrace what's going on in the world. And that right there can become something where we become cold and hard-hearted towards people, not just amongst one another in the church, but the people who need to see God. They need to see the love of God towards them. How is God going to reach them if He doesn't reach them through us? That means it's going to be uncomfortable, isn't it? If sin and lawlessness abounds, then that means us dealing with people might be very uncomfortable because they don't know any better. Their hearts are hard. But when they come in contact with the love of God, right? They're going to know that God touched them because they're a spirit. And this is the part that, you know, I go back to as we become more mature in the things of God, and as we mature in the area of love, in our love walk, God is going to give us some assignments that are uncomfortable. And I can tell you, loving people in the world to the flesh and the soul can be uncomfortable. Because you're going to have to love people that are unlovely and not nice. And that's why, you know, I was laughing during the week, you know, being around these ministers. They don't get together and talk and say, oh, you're going to, you know, you share this, you share that. They have zero clue what they're going to teach. They come in, and Reverend Annie was funny. I was, after the morning, one of the morning sessions, I said, over lunch, I said, boy, that was an amazing message this morning. She said, well, I'm getting comfortable being uncomfortable. And I said, oh, okay. She said, yeah, if you'd saw me this morning, in the hotel room, sitting on the couch going, oh God, I'm so comfortable being uncomfortable. Because she doesn't know, she's not getting a direction. So she's uncomfortable. And so she said, you know, it's not most times they don't get clarity on a direction a lot of times until they walk in They're during worship, and then they walk out on the stage and they start to share, and they have clarity. They know this is the direction I should go. And so we need to also, in the assignments we've been given, to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because in this world, it's not comfortable. To the flesh, being a Christian and walking in love in this world where there's an aboundness, or what would you say, a proliferation of iniquity, lawlessness, and sin. Just, we're not here to judge people, but we're here to love them. When people are stuck and people don't know which way to go, and people are hurting and they're sick and they're dying, you can walk up to somebody and say, God will heal you right now. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. He'll heal you. He's paid for your sin and your sickness. He's already paid for it. All you have to do is receive it. I'll pray with you, and he'll heal you right now. Right now. You want that? That's not judging anybody. I don't care what they've done. Doesn't matter to me. Now, society may go after somebody for some things they've done. But when somebody goes to God and asks for forgiveness, he forgives them, even if they murdered somebody. Yet society may say, okay, you have to pay a price for what you've done. But God paid the price for that. And you might say, well, I don't understand that. See, we're so used to the law, and God sent Christ. He became sin and everything that sin represents. So he became death. He became that. So what somebody did, he paid for it. Now, I'm not here to say what they should or shouldn't pay for in society. That's up to the laws of the land. But we as Christians are not to judge. Because when we get over into judging, that was where Reverend Leanne got up one evening. If anybody saw it, she's funny. She's another one. She's funny, funny. And she's talking about, I was like, why are they doing that? Why are they saying that? And she said, criticize, criticize, criticize. And she said, then I had to go home and go, oh God, forgive me for criticizing that person. Walking out of love. So it's the same thing. Being better as a spirit, we're not critical. And that goes on. You know, you can create an atmosphere at home where you're just biting at one another, criticizing one another, and there's not peace in the home, is it? It's just like, you're criticizing, and you're criticizing, and we're not to criticize. Doesn't mean that we can't talk about something and come to a conclusion, but we're not to criticize one another. And that's where the love of God comes. Because think about it. If we begin to mature, you think, well, I don't know about that. Well, go over to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Every time I think about this, I say, okay, Lord, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. I'll read it in the King James. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, which means I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to talk like that. I'm not going to process like that. I'm not going to process like a child. I'm going to process like a man, like a mature man. And I'm not going to criticize people. Now, do we still criticize? Yeah, we do. But that's the mind trying to understand something. I don't like the way they do that. I don't like, you know, I don't like the way they talk. I don't like, man, did we ever see that during the political season? Oh my God, it's horrible. I don't like them. They're not, bah, bah, bah. You know, I was sharing this at prayer on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. Brother Hagin, the Holy Ghost began to speak to him, and Jesus appeared to him and said, this was in the 70s, he appeared to him and said, there are, and he showed him a vision of three frog-like creatures coming up out of the sea and hopping across the United States. They came up on the East Coast and hopped down the East Coast and went into Washington, D.C. And it was a spiritual vision. And he said, I'm giving you an assignment to pray for this nation. And if you don't, some bad things will happen. And this was back in the 70s. And he said, well, he got on it and started praying, but he didn't continue with it. He laxed off. This is Brother Hagin. And bad things happened to the United States. Watergate happened. You had Nixon, all this stuff going on. And he said, if you had prayed, it wouldn't have happened to this nation. And I'm holding you personally accountable for it. And he said it was very difficult for him. That he had to pray and ask God, please forgive me. I won't do that again. And he said, this is what Jesus said. I am holding the church accountable for things that happen in this country, not the sinners. They're not in covenant, but we are. And God has seated us in heavenly places in Christ to rule and reign over these spirits that are creating havoc in our country. And he's given us all power and dominion in him. So who's he going to hold accountable? We're here in the earth. He's the head. He's in heaven leading us, but the church is sleeping at the wheel. They're not responding. This is what I talk about, the serious side of being a spirit, walking in the spirit. Because God wants to rule and reign in this earth. He wants to, what does it say? We are to pray for those who are in authority that what? We would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. He would have all men to be saved. He died for them. So what am I saying all this to say? Stop criticizing politicians. Stop criticizing, well, I'm this and, you know, this is what Brother Hagin said in his book. I'll read this because he made a good point in this. This is another good book. Get this. It's called The Art of Prayer, The Art of Prayer by Kenneth E. Hagin. And he made this statement. Let me get over here to the right chapter. This is on praying for the nation and praying for your nation. But this is what he said. First things first. This is just a little short paragraph. He said, God gave us specific instructions to put first things first. First of all, we are to pray for all men, for those and kings who are in authority. And then and so forth. But he said, yes, but people have said to me, I'll tell you, as long as the Democrats are in, it's not going to go. Others have said, as long as the Republicans are in. I hope you realize God's not a Democrat or a Republican. God's not an American. God is God. God is a spirit. He's not a man. Right. But this is what he said. If you are party-minded first, you will never amount to much of a Christian. Christians are to put first things first. And this is part of walking in the Spirit and being a Christian, is not being moved by all of this goofiness that's going on in society. Let me share this. I'm going to go back to this. I know it sounds like I'm bumping around here, but I want to share this this other point that Rick Renner's making about the heart's hardening and the love of God growing cold. From Matthew 24:12, he says, the word abound, from a Greek word, means to increase, flourish, and overflow. He says, from a sociological standpoint, this word was originally used to depict masses of people. So this context indicates masses that lack moral understanding. That's what it said. Iniquity will abound, and the hearts of many will wax cold. So he said this word abound in its context, from a sociological standpoint, means masses of people. That means worldwide. And we see it. And he says, the word masses presents the right idea, for this abounding iniquity that Christ spoke of is a state of affairs that is and will be developing worldwide, not just in one part of the world. As this occurs, lawlessness and a lack of moral understanding will abound among the masses, and society will slide further and further into rebellion against God. Well, look what, in that same passage of Matthew 24, it says, as it was in what? The days of Noah. So it shall be. So it is going to come to pass. But we need not embrace it. We need to stay close to Jesus, and I'm going to continue reading this. He said, in Matthew 24:12, Jesus was prophesying of a time that would come, this is Rick Renner writing, when immoral thinking, believing, and acting would affect nearly every facet of society. And it has. It will be a time of great moral confusion that leads to widespread immoral behavior. That's what we're living in right now. People are calling right wrong and wrong right. It says in Matthew 24:37-38, Jesus specifically described a last day's society as the days of Noah. Noah's day, the time before the flood, was a time when immoral behaviors were prevalent in the world. And it wasn't just a few who were affected in that climate of overflowing iniquity and lawlessness. The entire population of that time was morally affected. And Jesus foretold that as we entered the wrap-up of the last age, this is where we are, it would once again be as the days of Noah. And this is what he concludes this thought with. Only those who draw close to Jesus will avoid the defilement of this period. Staying close to Jesus. An on fire, committed remnant that fixes their eyes and their hearts on Jesus will avoid the moral debasement that will occur throughout a last days society. So, what are we saying with all of this? It's staying close to Jesus. It's keeping our hearts right. It's making sure, like Reverend Jim was saying, staying connected to him, not just reading my word, and that's all good, reading the word, confessing the word. No, he said the more important thing is I need to stay connected with the author of the word so that I get direction from him on what to say, where to go, what to do. And we not criticize people. It's love people and not get drawn in to bicker about the stuff we see going on. You know, people complaining about all the stuff. I'm not saying that it's not right what's going on in this society. It's not right. And we can sit and complain about it, but we have the answer. We've been given authority in him to speak to these spirits that are creating the confusion, causing confusion in the leaders to make choices that don't go well for us. It is just, it's goofy thinking. And their thinking is clouded because the God of this world is blinding the minds of those who make decisions. Well, we can do something about that. That's the part of us saying, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. We're going to take down and depose these spirits that are creating havoc in this country. I mean, we were having an annual board meeting recently in October, and we were just talking with the lawyer that was facilitating it, our law firm, and she said, you know, I've studied or kept stats on abortions for all these years, and she sent us a graph, and it was an eye-opener as to how many abortions have been done since they passed that law. She said every year since that law has been passed, at least 1 million to 1.5 million babies have been aborted. Well, to date, you can just look it up yourself, 63 million babies have been murdered. Now, if you think that's cool, that ain't cool. And we as the church need to stand up. Yes, we thank God that that was reversed. But they're already talking about it. I mean, when New York, they cheered. They were in that Congress cheering and thanking. They were all clapping and cheering that they codified a law that would allow abortion up to and including birth. This is the last days of Noah. And we need not be defiled by that or even think. See, this gets back to the mind. Well, you know, what about this? And what about this? And you can begin to embrace the logic of what they're trying to propose, and it's still not of God. I don't care how you slice it, how you want to slice it. And so this is the part where we need to know what God loves and what he doesn't love. And he loves people. And I can tell you this as it said, the defilement of society. It's he was writing in this book. He was saying here that he said he talks about the process of growing cold. He said, Jesus continued in Matthew 24:12, saying, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." According to Jesus, one consequence of lawlessness is growing cold towards God and toward others. It is important to note that Jesus said, "The love of many shall wax cold." The word many in Greek means multitudes. Jesus wasn't describing something that would affect only a few people here and there. This waxing cold could impact the greater part of mankind and even many in the church. Those who are affected inside the church will lose their sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's guidance and dealings, which will likely affect their view of right and wrong and corrupt the purity of their standards, their moral standards. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what we're talking about, is walking in the Spirit means staying connected with Him and letting Him guide, yield to Him so He can guide us and not be affected by this society, because it's racing further and further and further towards a demise. And we're here as a beacon, as what does it say? He said, you're like a candle set on a hill, on a bushel basket, so that you should shine bright. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It could be very uncomfortable. It's like you swimming upstream. You know, you're going against everything that society's pushing. Doesn't mean we're going to fight. I'm not fighting with people. And I'm not even going to be, you know, hard about it. I'm just, you share as led. You share the truth of the gospel. You're there to help people and to bring good news. And I believe that's, you know, what we're here to do. So, but back on this here, walking in the love of God, let's just take a quick look here. First John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 and verse 16. I'm going to read this from the New Living. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, 8, and then verse 16. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God." See, anybody who loves is a child of God and knows God. "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Verse 16, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who will live in love live in God, and God lives in them." And John 13, 34 and 35, we're familiar. In the King James, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Boy, that right there. Sometimes every time I read it, I have to stop and go, boy, am I loving one another as He loved me? Most times we have to say, well, not really. So we love one another as he loved us, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And 1 John 2, in the King James, 1 John 2, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, says, and hereby we do know, this is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3, in the King James, it says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Well, that's pretty much what we just got done reading in chapter of John 13, 34, and 35. So what are we saying? We are spirits, and we are going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk in love to people. Didn't say it was going to be comfortable. And this world is such that now, I mean, it's crazy. And people aren't thinking straight. They're just not thinking straight because they're letting their mind control their actions. And we want to let our heart control what we do. What does that mean? The love of God is in me, and I'm going to love people and love them right where they are, all of their mess and everything else. Even if they curse you out, you still love them. What did Jesus say? Do good to those that what? Despitefully use you and hate you. Do good to them. Because the love of God is God, and his word is the love of God is the power of God. And I believe it'll change. It's going to change some things. So God is looking, and I know he's already spoken some things to us, to the church in Nanuet, which includes this, that as we come, even on Sunday mornings, take an extra 20 minutes, half an hour, and come and pray before the service. You know, something that Reverend Leanne shared, of course I've known these things, but it's being consistent with it. She said, God can speak some things to you or to you personally or a ministry, but the fulfillment of that is going to come through prayer. And as she said, you laying down tracks through prayer so that can be fulfilled. So in other words, the things that God has spoken maybe to you or maybe he's spoken to this ministry are only going to come to pass through prayer, where we pray out the will of God for this ministry, and you're praying out in other tongues, you're praying out in English, and God gets involved with his people here in this earth to pray out his will and purpose. And so that's part of, you know, I remember Dr. Billy Brim talked about years ago that Lebanon, you know, these countries that border Israel, the Lord spoke to her and a few other ladies to go to Israel and stand on the border of Israel and Lebanon because, as she said, the war drums were beaten. And it looked like they were going to go to war. And she said they were given some directions to go over to that country, get a hotel room, and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak to those spirits that were stirring up this war drum, this war, and command it to be still. And she said, as they were directed, they did. And then they began to, they said one day they walked over to the border and they commanded this to cease. And she said it was just like, whew. It just came down. So there's a lot that as we mature in spiritual things, God may give us some assignments to speak to things using faith-filled words to begin to change some things in an area, in your home, in your area, in your school system, in your place of business, in this nation. And it's going to come through people that stay close to Jesus. Does everybody understand that? I know this isn't a shouting message, but boy, it stirs me to action, because at the end of the day, when we are faced with mountains in life, Mark 11:23, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So God is looking for a people. He's looking for us to not criticize, walk in love, stay connected to him. Let him lead us. Let us yield. If we get a prompt, sometimes I'm becoming more sensitive that when, you know, when was it? One of the evenings, I forget, I think it was Thursday evening. I'm sorry, Tuesday evening. Because Wednesday was the last meeting of that event. Tuesday evening, Reverend Annie came in, and they were all sitting in the back in the lounge that we have. And I'm telling you, the presence of God was so strong, I just felt it so strong, it was hard for me to even just interact. It was that strong. I walked in, I said, whew, what is about ready to go on here tonight? I mean, it was so strong that I had to almost sit down. And I'm like, I'm not ministering, but I don't know what's going on here. And after praise and worship, Reverend Annie got out there and she just stood. Go back and look at it. She just stood there, closed her eyes, had her books, and she just stood there, didn't say anything for almost 10 minutes. Just kept standing. I said, yeah, I know what you're feeling. This is healing. And she said, the healing power of God is here to heal and to minister to the people. And I tell you, that's where I want to be, to the place where if that, his presence stirs like that, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. If I'm eating dinner or I've got something, I'm shutting down, I'm stopping. What do you want, Lord? What is it that you need from me? Not be so caught up in life that I'm not listening. I'm not sensitive to his ways. Right? Let me ask a question. Just a simple example. There's a few here I know that are married. When your heart is moved to do something, do you go, where your spouse is going, you don't go, I'm too busy, I got stuff to do, man, I'm going to go over here and do this and do this. No, your heart is moved to do something for your spouse. regardless of what you got on your calendar. Is that not true? It sure is. And so it's the same thing. I love God that much that if He moves on my heart, I don't care what's on my calendar or what I'm doing, I'm stopping. I'm going to stop and listen. And obey. And that's all that scripture said. Yield to His promptings. That's walking in the Spirit. Doesn't mean that that goes on all the time. No, it doesn't. But when it does happen, yield. Listen to Him. If He wants you to take 10 minutes and pray, pray. If He wants you to take 10 minutes and just listen, listen. He knows you're busy. You know, sometimes people think, God, you know, I'm so busy, I got all this stuff. He already knows that. Like we're telling Him something He doesn't know. He's just looking for us to obey and be obedient. I remember Pastor Sarah saying this. She said it was very humbling for her. The Holy Spirit said to her early on in the ministry, you weren't my first choice. That'll make you humble. He said, the Holy Spirit said, I prompted others to do what I'm assigning you to do, but they wouldn't yield. There were other things in the way. I can't. No, I can't do that. And He passed them over. And they yielded. Were they perfect? No. Definitely not. But they yielded. And He could do, God could do what He wanted to do through them. We're sitting in this building because they yielded. And that's all I'm saying. Are we perfect? No. But when He prompts us to do something, He'll give us enough of those prompts, and then after a while He'll say, thank you, and He keeps moving. He'll prompt somebody else to do it. You know, I shared this with Pastor Greg recently. I said, you know, the Holy Ghost, and I've heard Pastor Clinton and Sarah share it, I've heard others share it, if you don't yield, if He gives you an assignment and you don't yield and you don't keep yielding, He'll move you out of the way. He'll take you out of the lineup. He'll give it to somebody else. I don't want to do that. Because there's too many people to reach. There's too much that has to be accomplished before He returns. That all of us have a part to play. All of us. Big or little, every one of us are important. Every one of us. Everyone. And you don't know the impact of your life and what people see in you. You know, we view ourselves the way we view ourselves. But people see you different. So what you say, how you conduct yourself, how you interact with people can change the direction in somebody's life. Glory to God. Praise God. I'm just trying to share my heart today because it's stirring that time is so short. It is so short that it's time to be available for God. Father, we thank You. And we give You praise this week and this day for working in our lives. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy towards us. And we thank You for what Jesus did for us, that He paid for our sins, He paid for our sicknesses. And Father, we commit our lives to You. We consecrate our lives, our spirits, our soul, and our bodies to You. We thank You for everything that You've done for us, the price that You paid. And Father, You've given us a commandment that we are to walk in love, even as you loved us. We're to love one another. Father, we purpose to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, have a wonderful week. Enjoy your families if you're visiting with them, and children. And praise God. Let's just take a moment and just, I know we should have before, but Father, we just lift up this nation before you. Father, you said that first of all, we're to offer up prayers, and intercessions, and supplications for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is your will, that you'd have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So, Father, we thank you for this nation. And we thank you that Jesus is Lord over this nation. Father, we lift up the President of this United States. We lift up the Vice President of this United States. Father, we lift up all of the justices in the Supreme Court. We lift up the congressmen and women, those in the upper chamber of the Senate and those in the lower chamber of the House of Representatives. We lift them all up before you. And Father, we also lift up those who are military and first responders and all of those that keep this country safe. Father, we ask that you give them wisdom and knowledge. And we ask that you speak to their hearts, that they would make laws that are just and right, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Father, we thank you that we were raised with Christ from the dead, and we were seated in heavenly places in Christ. And Father, we thank you that we reign from that place of authority. You said all authority was given to you in heaven and in earth. So Father, we embrace and take that authority that you've given us. And you said in your word in Matthew 18, you said, whatever we bind on earth is bound or is already bound in heaven, must already have been bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth must already have been loosed in heaven. So, Father, we take that authority in the name of Jesus, and Satan, we address you in Jesus' name. We command you to take your hands off of those who are in authority. We command you to take your hands and influence off of the President of this United States, the Vice President of this United States, the justices in this country, and those in the Congress. We command it in the name of Jesus. We address you, and we command the spirit of murder that's loosed and causing abortions, we command you to cease and back up in the name of Jesus. We command the darkness that's held sway to be pushed back from this country and even this area that we live in. We command darkness to be pushed back, that the light of the gospel would not be hindered in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the oil being released in this country, and that the price of gas and the price of food would come down in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, this whole plot by the devil to mess things up, when you step back and you look at it, when it begins, when the devil gets a foothold in anything, it's because the church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. If you look at any third world country, we have somebody here from Africa, you can tell this, you can confirm. But any, when you look at the countries in Africa and you look at those areas that the gospel didn't go in initially, you saw the devil running rampant. There was poverty, there was the witchcraft, there was all kinds of darkness that gripped that. But when the light got in, it affected man's thinking, it affected the prosperity. You begin to see cities rise up. You have cities now over there that look in some smaller version of New York City. And what is that? What does that all mean? That means when the devil's gotten a grip in an area, it affects every facet of society. And it gets down to affecting where the free flow of just even the gas and petroleum, it literally has gripped everything. So even the cost to get the food to your table has increased because they have to make a living. And they're paying over $6 a gallon for diesel. And so that costs everybody more money. What is it meant to do? To shut down the flow of money, which ultimately affects the church because it affects people. And people then have to start making choices between eating and living. Oh, it's devilish. And instead of complaining about it, you say, no, inflation is not my covenant. Prosperity is my covenant. And I'm in covenant with God. And you back up and take your hands off this nation in Jesus' name. Because it affects when you don't have extra money, you have sometimes all these missionaries that are out in the field looking for support to spread the gospel in areas that God has given them assignments to go. They're looking for our support. And that's what I mean, that this is about shutting down the devil's works in this country so that the gospel not be hindered. I mean, it makes me mad at him, because it affects all of us and it affects the gospel, and we're not going to have it. We're not going to have it in Jesus' name.